Howdy, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse Magazine.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. Today on the podcast, we'll talk to a member of the Odyssey team who's done something no one else in the history of the show has ever done before. How's that for a teaser?
That's a good one. But first, here's the latest news. Adventures in Odyssey Album 72, The Long Road Home, is now available for download. If you've been waiting to buy this set on a digital store, wait no more. Head to iTunes, Amazon, or AdventuresInOdyssey.com and grab those downloads today.
This is the album that features The Lost One, the two-part conclusion of the Olivia arc.
Oh, and as Buck would have it, a milestone in Buck's story.
And the episode Judge Me Tender, featuring the Perkins family.
The album's available now on the club, and it's coming to the radio and CD next month.
Album 72 has several episodes with sound design by Jonathan Crowe, which leads us back to our teaser up front. What is the thing that Jonathan has done that no one else on the team has ever done?
Well, it's not move him to my neighborhood because Christopher Deal, Dave Arnold, and Marshall Younger are already there.
Good point. No, it's not that. It's retire. At least Jonathan is the first one to retire directly from Adventures in Odyssey.
Let's talk to Jonathan about this new adventure and look back at all the adventures before. Jonathan, it's so nice to have you in studio.
Well, it's nice to be here. Nice to be live in person.
Well, Jonathan, so retirement, which, let's face it, is just a socially acceptable term for abandoning the people you've worked with for decades. I mean, people who depend on your skills and expertise. I hope you're happy. Are you happy?
I'm extremely happy, Bob.
Good.
I just wanted to see how much you love me. And you passed the test, okay?
Well, you're actually the first Odyssey team member to retire from the show while working on the show. What led to this decision?
Well, what made me think about that? Well, it was a process. You know, I would just be walking around the old shop here, and people know my age, and they'd be saying, when are you thinking of retiring? You're pretty old. You're getting pretty old. When are you going to retire? But seriously, as I saw the time coming, my wife and I, Joyce, we prayed about it a lot and prayed for the right timing that we would feel it. And so that was the foundation that we went into. And then, of course, my age. I'm 67 and a half right now. And, you know, my job is reliant on hearing and so on. And I wanted to go out on top before my hearing went. And I had to wear hearing aids just to hear the speakers and all that. You know,
but everything was okay.
Everything's good. Yeah, that's the way I wanted to go out.
Okay.
And I also thought that it was a good timing for Odyssey. And this is something that I talked to Dave a lot about, and he was very gracious when I came to him like 3 years ago and told him what I would like to do. And that got the wheels in motion so that we could get new people in here, younger guys coming in here.
Yeah.
And that's what we want. We want younger guys to come in and they can pick up and take over. And I'd say that's what's happened.
Yeah, Luke and Zach have done a wonderful job.
Have done a wonderful job.
But we do miss you.
And that's really made this a lot easier for me leaving.
So looking back at your time in Odyssey, you've worked on some amazing shows, different projects, even while you're here, you know, not just Odyssey, other things. So can you talk about or remember, like, what was the favorite show that you've worked on?
Oh, boy. That's a tough question.
Yeah, I know. Choose your favorite child.
How many episodes are there? About 2,000 and some? I don't know.
No, you did over 200 episodes, though, didn't you?
Close to it.
About that?
Yeah, somewhere around 200, give or take a little bit. So it's very difficult to pin it down like you want me to. So I would say, first of all, one of my favorite series was the Green Ring series.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's one of my favorite. But also, it was one of the most difficult times in my life because in the middle of recording that and putting that together is when I had my bicycle accident and broke my neck and back, and I was in pretty rough shape. But
you were just glad to be back and working on anything at that point, right? And we almost lost you. That was some of our fans don't realize just how serious that injury was.
Yeah, I should have died by all rights, but God spared my life, so I'm grateful for that. So I have good memories about the Green Ring Conspiracy series, and I was able to do a lot of the mixing and a lot of the show production, but the other guys had to fill in for the Foley. because that's very physical and I couldn't do it on the Green Ring. But anyway, but one of my favorite shows that I've done personally was Take Every Thought Captive. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a show with a lot of effects. And it was a lot of fun experimenting with sounds.
Yeah, club show. And boy, the reaction to that was wonderful, too.
Was it?
Yeah, it was terrific. And it was very outside the box. And the layers of sort of futuristic sounds and so on operating inside Valerie's imagination.
Right.
You did a wonderful job on that show.
And I really enjoyed working on it, too. So, and I enjoyed working with the writer of the show, Sam. He had a lot of good ideas.
That's a great example of a show that you worked on. But do you have maybe a favorite show that you didn't work on?
Well, I'd have many, Jesse. So narrowing it down once again to one show is very difficult. But one show that was done fairly recently was Christmas Bells. It was done by Nate Jones.
Yep.
And I just thought it was a difficult show to produce because there was singing in it. And he did a masterful job putting it together. And I thought it was just a wonderful show. So that would be one example of a show that I've really loved that somebody else did.
Okay, so what show came closest to making you want to retire sooner?
Oh, could you ask a little more difficult question?
I mean, was there one that was such a challenge you thought to yourself, I can't take this much longer?
You're not going to believe what I say.
Well, I
because
might.
This is early on my career, back in 1998,
okay.
when I first started with Odyssey. My first show was Patrick, A Heart of Fire, and I loved that show, and it was so special working on it. I have a lot of fond memories working on that. And then there was another show that came on just a little bit after that called Telemachus Part 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah.
And it was modeled after Patrick a little bit. But I found that extremely difficult and kind of frustrating working on because there are a lot of big scenes, a lot of period wars, you know, with swords and horses and people yelling, dying, and all that kind of stuff. And we didn't have a lot of effects in that vein back then. Mm-hmm. And also the equipment that we were using back then made it very difficult to layer so much sound. And it would have been a different scenario today if we had produced it.
Were you still working with tape at that point?
No, we had graduated from tape. We were working digital, but there were only, I don't know if this would mean anything to anybody, but 16 tracks where we have a lot more tracks we can work with today.
Gotcha.
And that has to do with layering the sound. You can layer a lot more with what we have now.
Well, we're glad that didn't do you in because you had a lot more
good
shows in you between then and retirement.
I'm glad it didn't either. So,
you know, podcast fans, they love hearing those sort of insider stories, things that, of course, you know, never made it into a show, maybe things that we just sort of laugh about around dinner or whatever. So, Jonathan, can you think of anything that happened maybe behind the scenes that our fans would like to know?
One thing I can remember is that we experienced an earthquake while we were recording.
Oh.
It was just Bob Hoos and myself in the studio. And I looked over at Bob and I said, "Are you okay?" I thought he was experiencing a seizure because the floorboards were shaking and the board was shaking.
Oh,
and Bob looked at me and said, No, I'm not." Then we started to realize, oh, it's an earthquake. But we just kept on recording. And then another one was when we were recording, and Nathan was directing this show, Katie broke down in the studio and started crying. And it was because the show she was recorded connected closely with something personal she was experiencing.
Mm.
And that's happened from time to time. And that was very, very touching. And we were able to just come around Katie and give her support. Then another one I thought of, and this will be my last one that I have, was Paul Herlinger. Remember Paul Herlinger? He played Wit for many years, and I love Paul. Paul and I would walk from the hotel where we stayed to the recording studio where we worked. At that time, the studio was only about 2 miles away, so it wasn't a major walk or anything. But I really enjoyed it. We called it the Odyssey Exercise Program. And we tried to get other people like Nathan involved in it and so on, but no other crew member joined us. I don't know what's wrong with those people. But anyway.
I always found it very important to have a good exercise program while you're out there because you eat really well when you're in Southern California.
Yeah, you do. But what I really enjoyed with those walks with Paul, as I look back on it now, is that that's when I really got to know Paul well and mm-hmm. went deeper with him. And even had some very personal talks with him as we walked. And so that was really a special experience for me.
Speaking of personal, and sometimes we give our fans an opportunity to ask questions that make it a little personal and totally random. So it's time for our
TRQ,
which, as you know, Jonathan, from being on the podcast before, is a totally random question. And this time it was provided by Ice Girl. Ice Girl wants to know, do you like those weird tasting hearts that come out at Valentine's Day? And I assume from the way that Ice Girl phrased her question that she's not a fan. So what do you guys, both of you, think about those weird tasting hearts?
Are you talking about those red mint things?
The little candy ones with it says
little
be
words
mine.
I like,
or...
Yeah.
Oh, I can't stand them. They're a poor excuse for candy, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's probably they only came out once a year.
Well, if they had dark chocolate and they had
some
words,
talking.
then I'd be into it. So no, I'm not into that kind of stuff.
How about you, Jess?
Oh yeah, no, I love them.
Do you really?
Yeah,
really?
I use them to write on the sidewalk. They're fantastic for that.
They're good for chalk.
Yeah,
that's
I always thought there was something wrong with you, Jesse. I don't know. Now you've just proved it.
All right, Ice Girl, thank you for that TRQ. And if others would be interested in sharing their questions with us, there is a place in the Adventures in Odyssey Club where they can do that.
Yeah. Well, Jonathan, I've been wanting to know, the last episode you did, The Lost One,
mm-hmm.
did that seem appropriate to end your Odyssey journey with that particular story arc? And then because you kind of knew that would be the last one you'd be doing the sound design on, did that make it harder to produce?
Well, I felt it was a real honor to work on something that was that significant and meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Marshall did an excellent job in that whole series, and especially bringing the whole series in for a landing. He did an excellent job. So I considered it a real honor. It was very touching for me, actually, to go out on a show like that.
Yeah, it's been very meaningful to the folks in the club who got a chance to hear it mm-hmm. early. So excellent work on that.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
As for the challenges producing that show, you were talking a little bit, Jesse, about it being my last, and was I sentimental about it? In some ways, I was. What I really wanted to do was do my best on that. I wanted to end strong.
Right.
You know, so that was really on my mind. And that, but far as production challenges, if you were to read the script and look at the script, you would think, What's so hard about this? There's only two or three people almost every scene, except one, and that was the church scene when there were multiple people there. And we couldn't get all the people at once in the studio. There were about eight different people, so there were different groupings of people, and trying to edit that was very difficult. But I would say that a lot of the transitions in that show were very very interesting and demanding. And this is something you wouldn't think of when you're listening to it. At least I hope you wouldn't, because that's what we're trying to do, is make it not seem difficult. But when you're going, like we were in the school, we were out in the hall with a certain kind of reverb, and then we walk inside the classroom and up to the front, and we do some things there. So that's a different kind of sound.
Right.
And then they walk out back into the hallway after there's a big crash in another room that has to sound off, and in another room, those can take challenges.
Yeah.
Then there were other things, like we were out on the street, and then Whit and Olivia walked into the church lobby, and you had to hear something happening way off in the sanctuary. Then they go into the sanctuary, and it still has to be, you hear the other people off, and as they walk up closer, the people have to get louder. Well, those are all very difficult things to accomplish in some respects. And then, of course, Leonid. I loved Leonid in the show. He did such a fantastic job, the guy who played Leonid. We had to get some I had to get some processing on his voice, so he didn't sound real. But the idea that Marshall wanted was for him to sound only slightly demonic. He didn't want the audience to know too quickly that he was really playing Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one time where he lost it in the second part, where I was able to go crazy, a little bit crazy, with the demonic sounds, where he had a low, and then bring him back. And then having him go poof at the end, it couldn't be poof. It had to, he had to sort of just fade away. And so that presented some challenges. But the one thing that I really liked about the shows, and that was part one. That's, if you remember, that's where Olivia and Zoe had their falling out. And they basically say, we're not friends anymore. And it ends with the door closing. And typically what we would do, typically what I would do, would be the bridge music would come in to the end of the show. But I thought, I'm going to try something a little bit different. So I had they said goodbye, we're not friends anymore, door closes, and then there were footsteps walking off. And I thought that made it sound very cold. Freezing cold, you know, with how Olivia treated Zoe.
No one was
going to
open that door again. It was over.
Then I had to challenge John with the music, saying, I don't want the big bridge music. Just add something light in there to give that cold kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And I think he accomplished it beautifully. And I was very pleased with that. That's an effect I've never done. So my last show...
Got to try something new.
Right.
I got to try something new, and I was mighty happy about that.
You attended your final Odyssey recording session last July, and aside from the COVID recording protocols, which were considerable and still are sometimes, what was the most memorable part of that session for you?
It was very memorable, and it was very touching being there, realizing this could be the last time I'm out here. And the last scene, Bob and Jesse, that I recorded was with Katie Lee, who plays Connie.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very touching for me to be recording Katie by herself, the last scene. Because Katie was really one of the first actresses that I connected with Odyssey. It was before 1998 when we announced that I was going to be part of it. And I talked to Katie at a live recording we had here at Focus. And then she went into interviewing mode. It was almost like, hey, there's someone breaking into the family here. I wonder how he's going to fit in. You know, that's Katie, the way she did it. And I loved it and really grew to really like Katie down through the years. So that was touching.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, for two evenings, we had dinners with different actors. And that was really special, especially the second night. We sat as a big group around a big round table, and we went around the whole table, and everyone told how they got involved in Odyssey. And that was really, really special. And the person that it almost brings tears to my eyes when I say it, but Will was there.
Yeah.
And little did I know that would be the last time I would see him. I think that was the last that we all saw him was at that session. So that was really special. And my wife, Joyce, was able to join me for that session. So I was glad that she was there to experience it. And I didn't have to come home and try and relate all that to her because it was just too much. So I was thrilled about that.
That was really, I got to be there too, Jonathan. It was really neat to be part of that and just see how beloved you are by, you know, not just the Focus staff, but the entire Odyssey family of actors.
Well, thank you, Jesse.
And
thank you.
Musicians and everybody.
Well, I felt it, and that was special.
You know, many of our podcast fans are years away from retirement. So what advice would you give them as they think about their future?
Well, you know, no matter what age you are, we each have only so much time in our life, right? And that's one thing, no matter where you are in life, I wish you could understand, I wish I could impart that you embrace that time is precious. You know, we hear a lot about time management. Well, there's no such thing as time management. We can't manage time. It's just going to march on, whether we're on board or not.
Mm-hmm.
What we can do is manage ourselves, though. And that would be my hope for you as a young person, that you realize that and you give your life over to the Lord and follow His ways as best you can and make your life count for Him, so that when you do come to retirement, when you do come to that day when we finally die, you can say, I've lived a good life, you know, I've run the race well, like the Apostle Paul says. So that's what I encourage you as a young person to think about. I know that's tough, you know, it's so far off, but it's a reality in life, and I hope you give it a little bit of consideration.
Making the most of every day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How are you doing that now in retirement? What are you, how are you filling your days now?
Well, it is a change, that's for sure. But a lot of the time, Bob, I've been able to work on video projects that I've wanted to work on that are family-related that I just didn't have time to work on before. And I think my family will enjoy the results of that. And, of course, there's been things that Joyce and I have been able to do around the house and a few trips here and there. But I consider that to be the interlude. Mm-hmm. I still have a love for doing production. I want to continue doing production. And I want it to have some eternal value. I hope that that can be part of my days, whatever days left I have, you know.
Yeah, I can't ever imagine you retiring, Jonathan, with just your creativity and your passion for the Lord and just the abilities that you bring to the different projects. So I got to wonder, how likely is it that we might hear your name again at the ending of some Odyssey closing
credits?
Yeah, when
is Chris going to say sound design by Jonathan Crowe again?
Well, I don't know about that. All I can say is we're working on that. I think I have a few shows left in me, so I hope that it's soon.
Well, we'll all be looking forward to that. And, of course, I'll be just looking forward to seeing you and Joyce going on walks around the neighborhood and hanging out with
indeed.
You guys. We look forward to that.
Yeah.
We miss you, my friend. Blessings to you and the family. And it's just so good to have you back in the studio with us today.
Well, it's been great. Thank you, guys.
You can hear The Lost One, Parts 1 and 2, Jonathan's final episodes as sound designer in the club now.
Or you can grab them as downloads. They're coming to CD and the radio next month.
And although we say final episodes, I have a feeling we'll be hearing Jonathan's name again in the days ahead.
I'm sure you're right. But before we go, Bob, what's going on in the club?
Aside from all the work going into the new website launching in the weeks ahead, members are enjoying the latest monthly adventure. Let's hear what that's all about.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club, Penny is recruited to teach an art class in an unexpected place.
The detention center.
Most of these kids come from broken homes and violent backgrounds. It can be pretty rough. What happened to Mindy isn't an uncommon occurrence.
Who's Mindy?
The teacher before me.
Sit down or step outside. You want to see a real interruption? Would tossing this desk over be an interruption?
Grab your paintbrush and brace yourself this month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
I'll be listening. And that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation to Focus on the Family.
Visit our website at adventuresinodyssey.com/podcast or join the club at aioclub.org. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.